Psalm 16 is written by David. We don't know the exact occasion of the psalm, but reading through it, we would assume that it was a time when he was close to death. Look at verses 8 to 10. He will not be shaken, even though the grave stands before him. Sheol and corruption. This is the experience of David. If the context of this psalm is David's life being in great danger, then the theme of the psalm might surprise us. It's confidence in God, delight in God, contentment in God. When standing before an open grave, when staring death in the face, David has calmness and peace about him. Psalm 16 speaks of his delight and contentment in God despite the terror of the grave and death. But how can David be so peaceful and calm at such a time? Well, the answer is found in the greater David, the one that David is prophesying about here in Psalm 16. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, both Peter and Paul, they use Psalm 16 to point us to Christ Jesus. We read earlier from Acts chapter 2. And there Peter is preaching, and he says that this psalm, and in particular verse 10, cannot be speaking ultimately of David the king, but it's speaking of Christ Jesus, the one who rose from the dead. And Peter says, he is the Holy One who did not see corruption. David's body, it would die and be buried and decay. And Peter says to those who are listening, you can even go to his tomb. You can go and visit it. You can look at it. You can see where David has been placed. But Jesus Christ has risen. In Acts chapter 13, in verses 34 to 37, Paul is preaching. And he says that this psalm speaks of Jesus Christ. He is the Holy One. He is the one risen from the dead. David's calmness and his peace ultimately is found in Jesus Christ. He is looking forward to Christ Jesus. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he is prophesying about Christ Jesus. And David's calmness, his delight, his contentment, his certainty that is found in Psalm 16, even though he's standing before an open grave, it's all found in Christ Jesus. And so it's the same for us. As we face death, as we face difficulties, hardships and trials, at times in our lives when it feels as though we could be standing before an open grave, as God's people, we can have peace and calmness. How? Well, the answer is found in Jesus Christ. There is one who has not seen corruption. There is one who's been raised from the dead. Christ Jesus. As we face difficulties day by day, and at times when it is as though we are at the point of death, or even facing an open grave, hardships that seem to overwhelm us, we too can be like David and face it with peace certainty and calmness because of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. So let's look at this psalm before us. And we see here, firstly, devotion and delight. Devotion and delight. Verses 1 to 4. Here we have devotion and delight. In verses 1 and 2, David is expressing his devotion and his delight in God. Look at these verses. Preserve me, O God, because I have taken shelter in you. I've come under your care. I've come to your everlasting arms. I've placed myself under your protection. I am devoted to you. Lord, preserve me, because you have taken me in. I have come to you for refuge. Then he says in verse 2, you are my Lord. David submits everything to God. My Lord, I've come to you, devoted to you. You have my heart. Not only is there devotion, but there's also delight here in God. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Dale Ralph Davis, a preacher today, a commentator on God's word, he says this of verse 2 in his own translation of it. You are all the good that I need. You are all the good that I need. I delight in you, Lord. My heart is yours. Not only do I submit to you, but you are also sufficient for me. Not only is my devotion towards you, but I delight in that devotion. Here is total commitment to God from David. And David knows and he recognizes that outside of God, he has nothing. He knows that every good and perfect gift comes down from his Father in heaven. He knows that outside of God, there is no provision for him. Outside of God, there is no shelter for him. There is no comfort. There is no strength. Outside of God, David would be lost. And so he's devoted to God and he delights in God. This is to be the mark of the believer. This is what sets us apart from the world. As we look at our lives, as we consider what we have, surely we have to declare along with David, Lord, apart from you, I have nothing. We're not only to be devoted to God, but we're to declare that He is our delight. God is our only joy, our only delight. We sang earlier from Psalm 43, verse 4, God, my chiefest joy, my utmost joy, my chiefest delight. And this delight in God, devotion to God, then also flows through to his people. Look at verse 3. David says that the saints that are on earth, that is God's people, he calls them the excellent ones. He also delights in them. If you delight in God, then you will also delight in his people, his family, our brothers and sisters. Now, there are many times when we do not delight in one another as we should. We still sin. We still make mistakes. But if we could see one another as we will be, if we could see one another, if we could get a glimpse of one another as to what we will be like in eternity, then we'd be tempted to fall down and worship. But here we see that love for God, devotion and delight in God, flows through also to his people. to the excellent ones. This world has a lot to attract us. But here we see that devotion and delight in God and in his people is to then also be contrasted to this world. Look at verse 4. There are those who run to other gods, those who worship falsely, those who take false gods on their lips. And David is saying, I will not do this. My devotion and my delight is in God alone and in his people. And what this world has to offer, what it tempts me with, the following after wickedness, that I will not do, because I am devoted and I delight myself in God and his people. There is much that is pleasant or appears pleasant and attractive. But friends, there can be no mixing of devotion. There can be no loving God and loving money. There can be no serving God and serving the God of this world. David, in his devotion and delight in God and in God's people, will not follow the ways of this world and its trappings. Through Christ, we are to be devoted to God and his people, and not following the ways of the world. And Jesus Christ, like no one else, had this delight and this devotion. He was devoted to the Father in heaven like no other, the perfect Son of God. And he delighted in the Father, and the Father delighted in him like no other, the perfect Son of God. And he obeyed perfectly. Even when all the kingdoms of the world were offered to him by Satan. Even when Satan said, choose this way, the easier way, the way that doesn't require the cross. Choose this way and I will give you the kingdoms. Even when those temptations came, his devotion and his delight was in God. And he willingly went to the cross. And he did it because his delight is in the excellent ones. His delight was in the saints on earth, the church, you and me. And he shows his delight for us, and that he gave his life for us. He paid the price for us. And so, friends, that is why in Christ Jesus and through Christ Jesus, we love God, we are devoted to God, we delight in God, and we delight in his people. Often when Paul was writing to the churches, he spoke of their faith in Christ and their love for all the saints. He spoke of devotion and delight. As we face an open grave, as we face struggles and difficulties of all kinds, we can do it with peace and calmness and great reassurance, because we are devoted to the one who cares, devoted to the one who is our refuge, devoted to the one who provides for us, devoted to the one who delights in us. And we can face those trials and those hardships and those difficulties because he is devoted to us. He delights in us. And apart from him, we possess no good thing. We are to be devoted and to delight ourselves in God and his people. But then secondly, we also have here contentment and counsel. Contentment and counsel, verses 5-8. David, when he is facing troubles of this life, he doesn't just remind himself of his devotion and his delight, but he reminds himself of his contentment and the counsel that he has received. He reminds himself that he is content with God's gracious provision in this life, in the life to come, and the guidance that God has given to him. The imagery here in verses 5 and 6, it's that of the division of the promised land. When the land was being allocated to the people of Israel, it was divided up amongst them, and they were to be content with the portion that they received, that was provided for them. Their possession in the land was given by God himself. Now, David was of the tribe of Judah. Their portion was in the southern part of the kingdom. But David might also here be hinting at the portion given to the tribe of Levi. They didn't have a particular place of land. Instead, they were the priestly tribe. And they served God in the tabernacle and then later the temple. And their portion was God himself. They were scattered throughout the tribes, and they would come to the tabernacle, and God was their portion. Look at what David says in verse 5. The Lord is my chosen portion. He has been allocated to me. This is our allotment. This is the portion for each and every believer. The Lord God has been allocated to me. And what God has given me, I'm content with. He has given a great inheritance, and I'm content with that. David speaks of the boundary lines that have fallen in pleasant places. The inheritance. We've been thinking about the inheritance as we've been going through the book of Genesis. This inheritance that points us ultimately to Jesus Christ, our spiritual inheritance, the promises of salvation, our eternal home in the new heavens and the new earth. Consider what God has given to you. Consider the portion that he has given to you. Consider the inheritance that he's handed to you. Look at it. Look at the salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. And tell me you're not content with it. We are content. It's a beautiful inheritance. It's a beautiful salvation. Andrew Bonar, he was a Scottish Free Church minister in the mid-1800s. He apparently had Psalm 16, verse 6, sung at the first Sabbath day after his marriage to Isabella Dixon. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Certainly these words are very true in finding a wonderful wife. I know many of us can say the lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. What Andrew Bonar did was in some ways slightly amusing. But isn't this just so much more? So much more than just the good things that God gives to us here on earth. Our eternal inheritance. Look at it. Study it. Think about it. And then declare how beautiful it is. You see, David could look at the danger of death. He could face his difficulties with peace and calmness because he knew that God has given a great inheritance. And God has given him great contentment in this rich inheritance provided for him. The Lord has allocated himself to David. And he holds that lot. He holds that inheritance for him, that it will never perish, spoil, or fade. And then God doesn't just give the contentment, but there's also the counsel of God. God directs him. Look at verse 7. The counsel he gives. Even in the night, as I lie in bed, as I think about his word, as I think about God's providential care, as I think about the circumstances that God has brought me into, I think about God has led, how he has led me, how he has guided me, how he has gone before me, and I'm not going to be shaken. David looks at his whole life's circumstances and he sees that they have been ordered and structured by God. God has marked out. God has settled him. God has counseled him. God has directed him. And David is content. This is what God has done. Christ Jesus could look at the boundary lines that were set for him. His boundary lines, the church, his kingdom, the new heavens and the new earth. What has been set aside for Christ Jesus? He is King and Lord of everything. And he could see that his Father was his portion. He could see that the inheritance was there for him. And so Jesus Christ could face the cross. He could face the grave. He could face death. He could do it with contentment in God. He could do it because of the providential directing of God the Father. The circumstances that were ordered for his good and for our salvation. The directing of God. Friends, look at the inheritance we have. Consider the providential care of God in your life. His counseling, his guiding, his word to teach us and instruct us, even as we lie in bed in the middle of the night. And we think about what God has done. Does it not bring contentment? Contentment and his directing, his counseling. Can we not face our difficulties and our struggles with peace and calmness? Can we not face the terror of death with contentment and peace? Can we not face and stand at that open grave and say, I will not be shaken because God has given me an inheritance. The boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. He is directed in his providential care. I am content and I am counseled wisely. I will not be shaken. There is devotion and delight. Contentment and counsel. And then thirdly and finally, there is surety and salvation. There is surety and salvation. We can, with calmness and peace, face our difficulties because we have a great confidence. Verses 9 to 11. Because of God's nearness in verse 8, David is confident and sure that God will be with him, upholding him, preserving him, even on through death. Notice here that David is certain and sure that his whole being will be saved. His heart is glad. His whole being, even his flesh, will rejoice before God. Even his flesh will dwell secure. And this includes even going on through death. There in the grave, God will not leave his Holy One. God won't abandon his own. David is full of confidence of salvation. And this certain and sure view of salvation extends to eternity. Verse 11. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. David has his eyes fixed beyond this life. That's why he can with calmness and peace face death. That's why he can face the dangers set before him. He can even face that open grave. God will see him through. God won't abandon his own. God won't forget. But he will raise up, and he has an eternal dwelling place prepared and secured for his people. And so David looks forward to everlasting life in God's presence. And this is what brings us to Jesus Christ. Because Peter and Paul in the New Testament both make it clear that this psalm is speaking of Christ. He is the Holy One. Peter says it can't ultimately be David. Go and look at his tomb. Go and see where he is lying. We have his remains amongst us to this day, Peter is saying. And so David must be speaking of another. And David is. He's looking forward to the greater David, the promised descendant who will eternally sit in the throne, Jesus Christ. This Jesus Christ was not left in the grave. But he defeated sin and death. And he rose again. He came out of the grave. He wasn't abandoned to Sheol. He didn't see corruption. And our surety, our salvation, is found in this Jesus Christ. Our assurance is through him. We too will have the victory. We are included in Christ's inheritance. We are bound up with Christ. And God the Father will not abandon us to the grave, because in Jesus Christ we are linked, we are joined together, body and soul. God will not leave us. But in Christ we will be raised up on that day. We will know fullness of joy in his presence. We will know the eternal pleasures at his right hand. How can we face our difficulties, our hardships? How can we face death, the open grave? How can we walk with a calmness and a peace that David is expressing in Psalm 16? The answer is Christ Jesus. He has defeated sin and death for us. He is the one who is raised up, and we will be with him. We too will experience this victory, and we too can be sure and certain of eternal life in his presence forevermore. Surety and salvation. Every difficulty that we face, and every hardship, even when it looks as though we are staring into an open grave, even though it looks as though death is lurking at the door, we can, like David, walk with calmness and peace. We do it by declaring our great confidence, our devotion, and our delight in God. We do it by realizing what we have through that wonderful inheritance, contentment in the great salvation that God has brought to us, the beautiful inheritance through Jesus Christ. And we do it knowing that Christ Jesus has defeated sin and death. He is risen again. And we too will rise and we will be with him forever. What must we do to have calmness and peace in the midst of death and an open grave? Fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Continue looking to him and reminding ourselves that outside of him we possess no good thing. Outside of him we would have no portion or inheritance. Outside of him we would have no hope. But in him, we have everything we need. In him we have salvation. In him we have the hope of a sure and certain future. Amen.